federal government might be throwing away billions of dollars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Commission on Wartime Contracting says it's uncovered some new risks in projects to rebuild and stabilize those countries. The commission's co-chair, Mike Tebow, joins us now with some new details on the projects. Good morning. Welcome back.
Morning, Tom.
Okay, so let me read something from your preface to this latest report, and you can tell us in detail what's going on, but this seems to say it all. It says you have found no indication that the Department of Defense, state, or anybody else are making adequate plans to ensure that host nations will be able to operate and maintain U.S.-funded projects on their own. So does that mean they could decay and be gone and all the money would have been wasted?
That's probably a good way to say it. We refer to it as sustainability, but what it really comes down to is we have committed to provide support to the government after we leave. Right now, the date everyone is talking to is 2014. The hidden variable is after we leave and after significant recognizing, and a lot of folks don't recognize that significant contracting and costs are going to be incurred. How is that going to be awarded? Who's going to award it? Where does the money flow in? And how is the cost going to be managed? We as a commission believe that this is probably higher risk to potential waste than the many situations that we've already reported under present contracting, where you have a very robust and a much improved infrastructure by the military and by the State Department to award contracts and manage costs.
So they're doing a good job on the front end. It's after we leave militarily. So let's try to make an example here. I'll just make up one, a power plant. Say it's in Iraq. Is one of the dangers, for example, that they could bring in unqualified people, say, I don't know, import them from Yemen or something, to try to maintain and operate that plant, but they would not have the capability or skill to do so?
That's right. Or actually, we just issued a report on this this morning on this subject, and we used a power plant. We used the Kabul power plant, where it's kind of an example of where the present isn't that well done, and the future has even more problems. For several hundreds of millions of dollars, they built the power plant in Kabul, which at the time, the idea was to provide Kabul with power. The design was for either diesel or heavy fuel oil. No one can afford diesel because it's very expensive, and heavy fuel oil just requires very significant maintenance. The question then is, who do you have to bring in to do this maintenance? And we're talking about tens of millions of dollars over the life of the plant, and certainly the local capability doesn't exist. You compound that with the fact that it is so expensive that the government of Afghanistan went out and negotiated a separate power structure for Kabul. And they're buying it from Uzbekistan at 25 cents on the dollar. So this power plant, which is up and ready to run, is going to sit there. It's kind of like a white elephant. It is a white elephant in the sense that if something happens with Uzbekistan, there's a backup, but there's no indication at all that anything will happen. So not only in this case, and it's representative of the challenge, is it a case of are you even going to use it? Did you waste the money to build it? But now to maintain it, your point, who's going to maintain it? Probably going to have to be the American companies that built it. And then who's going to contract for it? And when we're gone, who's going to provide the contract oversight, the eyes on the ground? And our point is, because this is the hidden variable about contracting, that the dialogue just is not that robust. The potential, we believe the potential for waste is much more significant going forward, and there has been very substantial waste to the present.
So to put it in contracting terms, the people that are letting these contracts are thinking about the acquisition cost but not about the life cycle cost of what it is that we're building.
You know, you're exactly right. And if you think about the single biggest cost now, by more than double, used to be the cost of housing and feeding American soldiers and government employees. But the single biggest cost is the Afghan National Security Force. $13 billion, 12.8, for the upcoming year. of which over $5 billion, and recognize we're not at the goal of 352,000 soldiers and police. Over $5 billion is going to clothe these soldiers, to equip them with guns, weapons, ammunition, and then make their payroll. We're making their payroll, and in the future, we'll pay for the salaries of these 352,000 soldiers and policemen because the country can't pay for it. Well, how are we going to flow the money in? How are we going to manage those funds? Because Afghanistan, like it or not, is a corrupt country with a corrupt government.
We're speaking with Mike Tebow, the co-chair of the Commission on Wartime Contracting. In listening to this, it strikes me that not only are American dollars at stake, but also American credibility and prestige.
I don't think that's a stretch. I guess that's a double negative that says I think if we botch this, if we do a poor job of identifying what the costs are going to be, and what's the proper way both to fund them, to recognize the risk. You know, right now, the number of fraud cases in the last couple, 3 years, and that's due to the volume, and there are some very solid companies out there. But the number of fraud cases, which is largely industry-oriented, has more than tripled. The backlog is growing with Department of Justice and the investigative organizations. Now, how are we going to keep that same level of activity when the American military's gone and there's no infrastructure to get these investigators out and about in the community? Who's going to do it? Who's going to have access to the kinds of contracts to ascertain that? So are we compounding a corruption problem? Because in the Afghan government would say we're working on it, and they are. We're trying to identify how we go about it, and they are. But they aren't there.
So you have several recommendations in the latest report that's coming out this morning, actually. Tell us, review for us the highlights of the recommendations you have and who you're making them to.
Well, we're making them to Congress, and we're trying to get, again, a bit of a national debate going on what's the best way to approach this. But we're recommending that officials at the Defense State and the U.S. Agency for International Development perform a detailed evaluation and examination and identify what the issue is, what the challenges are, and what the current problems are. We're also recommending that there are any number of very large projects that either need canceled or redesigned. And we're trying to tie all that in. What we're recommending to Congress is that there be a required reporting in the very short term, December 31st of this year, and that is short term for organizations to identify exactly what their plans and structure is, and that Congress then have an annual report that includes their analysis and proposed actions for mitigating and eliminating, where appropriate, unwarranted sustainability costs. And we believe that keeping that dialogue going annually through Congress is probably the only way to really keep it visible and understand the sustaining cost just for the military, you know, to make their payroll, to train them, to, you know, run them back through boot camp again, is about $8 billion a year after we've left. And that's just one aspect. And if you think about that, pretty quick, it adds up to a lot of money. And I'm not trying to be cute. It's just... you know, it is the hidden variable that we need a dialogue, and we believe that Congress is the answer.
And final question, do you sense that the people that you interview and investigate for this report, the contracting officers, the people involved with the projects, do they understand this? Do they get it?
You know what? I'm a fan of the current contracting. You know, they had a lot of challenges and a long ways to go, and they've done some remarkable activity. So yes, they get it. But what happens when we leave? You know, there's an infrastructure there called CENTCOM Contracting Command that does billions and billions of dollars of contract awards in a very challenging environment. They have an oversight process. They know how to award contracts and all of that. They get it. Well, but what happens when you send them home? Who's going to do it? Who's going to award those contracts? Who's going to protect the money, you know, and this is trite, but it's very true. The money that the American taxpayer is flowing into developing this country in a manner consistent with our national goals.
Lots of great questions. We'll see if those get answered in the months ahead. Mike Tebow is co-chair of the Commission on Wartime Contracting. Thanks very much for that update.
Hey, Tom, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.